It is time for KDNK's local newscast for this Tuesday morning, February 21st. I'm Steve Cole, live from the heart of Carbondale's Creative District. The proposed loss of mandatory firearm training required for a concealed carry permit in Colorado was raising concerns about Senate Bill 17-116. Colorado News Connection reporter Brett McPherson has more.
Attendance at the Tanner Gun Show this weekend was, quote, comparable to last year, according to representatives. The show's the largest firearm retail event in Colorado by three times its nearest competition, attracting a significant weapons industry presence in the state. Meanwhile, this week, Colorado senators consider a bill to remove the obligation to receive a permit to carry a concealed handgun in Colorado. Joe Deaton is a former Jefferson County deputy who owns TAC One, a company that sells at the Tanner Gun Show and provides training for law enforcement and the general public.
The only issue I have with the right to carry without a permit is just the basic training that's required. I just think that without a little bit of training, somebody can go from a law-abiding citizen to now being faced with, you know, criminal negligent homicide, manslaughter charges in split seconds.
Despite his concerns, Deaton thinks the permit should not be required. Colorado has no waiting or cooling off period, nor training requirement for regular gun purchases. 11 states and the District of Columbia have waiting periods to reduce impulsive acts of violence. The proposed legislation would remove the need for a permit or any obligation at all, depending on where the gun was purchased, in order to carry a hidden handgun in public. Mike McLively, an attorney with the Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence, opposes bills such as this, which are being proposed across the country.
To do away with the permit requirement, I could have no experience with the handgun whatsoever, not know how to use it, go to a store in Colorado, buy that handgun, and then instantly have the ability to just walk around in public without any training. It just doesn't make sense.
Opponents of such legislation are concerned the proposed rollbacks would, quote, reduce or eliminate the authority of law enforcement to deny permits to potentially dangerous individuals, according to the center. 21 other states rejected similar legislation in 2015, according to Senator Steve Fenberg, who opposes the bill. SB 17-116 makes a quick stop at the State Finance Committee this week before going on to the Senate for a vote. Even if it passes the Senate chamber, it is expected to face steep opposition in the Democratic-controlled House. For Colorado News Connection, I'm Brett McPherson.
Glenwood Springs police have issued a warrant for the arrest of 30-year-old David Edward Kennedy for sexual exploitation of children and car theft. The Post-Independent says Kennedy was recently released from an Oklahoma prison where he was serving a sentence for child pornography charges. Officers obtained a warrant earlier this month to search his home and arrested him at that time for failure to register as a sex offender. Kennedy was released from jail after only a couple days and has left the area. On Sunday, law enforcement in Grand Junction spotted a man who looked like Kennedy driving a 1998 Burgundy Ford Windstar minivan. He sped away from officers who eventually broke off the chase. It was not clear in what direction he was traveling. Colorado is roughly a third of the way through the four-month-long legislative session. As part of KDNK's weekly Capitol Conversation, Bender Berkland sat down with State House reporters to take stock of the big issues this session and look at some of the controversial debates.
Joining us today, we have John Frank, a reporter for the Denver Post, and Peter Marcus with ColoradoPolitics.com. A lot of bills are not progressing very far in each chamber, and Peter, that's because they're pretty controversial and divisive along partisan lines.
Yeah, basically what we saw was the perennial bills, the perennial controversial issues, abortion and guns. Credit to the legislature. They kind of packaged them up into committee hearings. So like with the gun bills, a lot of which would have rolled back efforts by the legislature when it was controlled by Democrats in 2013 to crack down on high-capacity ammunition magazines, universal background checks, things like that. We see every year an attempt to roll that back, and they didn't go anywhere. And then similarly, a lot of the abortion bills, which tried to ban abortion and some interesting stuff around apparently you can reverse an abortion, which was a new one in the legislature this year. They had a discussion on that. Again, didn't go anywhere, but at least they're out of the way. Now there's just, you know, actual other issues out there that they have to advance.
A lot of these bills were actually pretty interesting, and they have their own constituencies. And Peter's right, we do see a lot of them every year. But for instance, we had the National Popular Vote Bill, which had a new momentum after the 2016 election, of course, when Hillary Clinton won the popular vote but lost the White House. We saw other bills that dealt with immigration. We're seeing a lot of things tie into the national political mood right now. The immigration bill in particular would have required police officers in Colorado to be citizens of the U.S. That bill's still making its way through the legislature, but is expected to die in the Democratic House. So we're seeing lots of hot-button issues, lots of Washington politics, and that tone is carrying in here at the State House.
Following along those lines, how do you think that national mood will impact discussions on some of the big-ticket items that are still out there?
So that's it right there, Benta. I mean, how are these national politics going to overshadow the important work that they actually have to get done for the people of Colorado, funding crumbling roads and highways, dealing with education funding, coming up with a solution for construction defect reform and housing development? So far, the Senate Republicans have kind of been the, you know, adults in the room when it comes to the transportation funding issue. In the House, we kind of saw it go sideways. We saw Chrisanta Duran elevate the conversation by connecting transportation funding to education. We saw House Republicans respond with a very strong statement saying that it seems like Democrats have given up. But when you ask Republicans in the Senate about this, they're being a little bit more mature about it. They're being a little bit more cautious and saying, I get it. Everybody's got an opinion on this. We're still working on moving forward. So there's hope there.
And John, even without the national mood, these issues are always difficult to resolve.
It's often the case in the 120-day legislative session, of which, you know, we're a third through, that these issues come to fruition at the very end. But they have to start making progress. And it's gotten so tough, and particularly the negotiations on transportation, that the governor put a kind of arbitrary deadline on there saying, do something by the end of March or else. So the lawmakers are going to have to get together on this issue if they want to deliver on their promise from the start of session to improve the roads in Colorado.
Thanks. That was John Frank with the Denver Post, Peter Marcus with ColoradoPolitics.com. I'm Benta Berkland in Denver, and you've been listening to Capital Conversation.
Rosie Bell is the new Mobile Maker bus from Carbondale Lawrence, KDNK DJ. Kat Rich is coordinator of the project. She joins Gavin Dahl to talk about it.
So start by telling us about Rosie Bell. What is it, and where did the name come from?
Rosie Bell is a memorial project in honor of CCAH, or Carbondale Arts, former director, Ro Mead. One of Ro Mead's passions was making sure that all children had access to arts education. And when she passed away, it was very hard for us to come up with a project that was worthy of her memorial. And this bus was the ticket. That was what we were able to come up with. And it is named the Rosie Bell after Ro Mead, and that is also Amy Kimberly's nickname for Ro. So it's really exciting to be a part of that project because Ro was a mentor to me and a very, very dear friend. And Ro had a really big influence on so many people in this community, but especially in making sure that arts education was brought here and that it stayed here.
Folks may have seen the bus parked around town. What do you have planned for the physical space?
We have ripped out all the seats except for one for the bus driver and one for the teacher that will ride in the bus. There will be 10 to 12 workstations that will have laptops retrofitted with music, video, film, photo editing equipment, you know, the works. The back is retrofitted to be kind of a safe space area that we can clear out for performance work or movement type work, or if a kid needs a place to just have a minute to collect themselves or just take a minute and have some space. We got a grant from CORE, and so Rosie Bell will be fully solar panel operated, which is great. We will have a backup generator, and we're just in the process of trying to develop the outer design for the wrap. From what I understand, an artist will come up with a concept for a design, and then we'll take it to the wrap people, which is basically a giant sticker that they're going to put on the outside of the bus.
Once Rosie Bell is up and running, what's the plan of action?
Our plan right now is to initiate sort of a soft opening kind of test run for Rosie Bell with the RE1 school district, which is Carbondale, Basalt, Glenwood Springs, in the springtime. So we can really work on developing programming that is consistent with the school's curriculum. It's really important to maintain a cross-curricular balance. And what that means for folks that aren't in the education know is if there is a class that is learning something about bugs, say, we will work with that teacher to come up with an art project or a creative endeavor that allows them to study more about that particular subject.
And kind of augment curriculum in a kind of a fluid way.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep it mobile way.
In a mobile way, exactly. And then our plan in the summertime is to get some camps out to the Western Corridor schools, which is Newcastle, Rifle, Parachute. That's the RE2 school district. And currently, the RE2 school district only has enough funding to operate on a 4-day school week. Our plan is to utilize that fifth day on Fridays and bring the Rosie Bell bus to those underserved areas so that we can initiate some programming, give them what we call a third space, which is not school, not home, but it's a place for kids and youth to go that will provide them tools, access to creative endeavors, social skills, et cetera, et cetera. And then once fall rolls around, Rosie Bell will be fully equipped and programmed and ready to go to serve all the schools in RE2 and RE1.
Talking to Kat Rich, the coordinator of Rosie Bell, the new mobile maker bus from Carbondale Arts, you mentioned the CORE grant. You've just received another grant for this project too, right?
Yes, we are very, very fortunate to have received a grant from the Gerentz Foundation. That is a family up in Aspen whose sister was an artist, and it was very important to her to keep arts education going as well. We've also just received another grant from the Betty Jane Schuss Foundation. The grants from the Schuss Foundation and the Gerentz Foundation will help us to acquire our technology, which is part of the integral mission of this bus, to offer these children access to music, video, film, spoken word, all of those types of the higher technology and the digital art.
Talk more about your role as coordinator. What are some of the collaborations you're planning to develop besides what you've talked about?
Well, my job is to facilitate all kinds of interesting pieces and parts of this project. It's a big project, and there's a lot of logistics that pop up. It's a little overwhelming, but it's very exciting also because there's all sorts of things you haven't thought of.
It's going to just keep getting bigger and bigger.
Yes. It's our hope that maybe eventually this project will take off so well that we'll have a fleet of Rosie Bells maybe someday. But what I am currently doing is working on building policies and setting up some partnerships and some collaborations with some other organizations that are dedicated to helping youth. Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program, Youth Entity, Access Roaring Fork. We're working on partnering with them for some of their summer boost camps to offer some enrichment. We are working on building partnerships with Jazz Aspen to work on Beats Lab with Aspen Word so we can incorporate some spoken word into these things.
And also libraries and nonprofits. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like the list could kind of go on from there.
Yeah, and we're currently building our partnerships with the RE1 and RE2 school districts, as well as the public libraries, the park systems. So the possibilities for this bus, I think, are pretty endless, which is very exciting.
Kat Rich, new coordinator of the Rosie Bell Mobile Makerspace from Carbondale Arts. Thanks for speaking with Kate and Kay.
Thank you, Gavin.